But we are in actually week 7 of the series already. Rejected like David. How many of y'all feel rejected? Yeah, good. Yeah, the series has really helped you, right? This series has really helped bring to light some aspects of rejection that maybe you have not seen before. Because rejection comes in different forms. It's not just why I felt rejected there. It's in different forms. You can feel it from family members. You can feel it from bosses. You can feel it from people that you love, you're in a relationship with. There are different forms of rejection. And the enemy will do everything he can to get you offended by it, and get you to feel rejection, because rejection pushes you away from opportunity for fear of being hurt. So if we can't deal with rejection, you will miss out on the blessing that God has for you in this life and the opportunities that God wants to bring into your life that require you to stand up against some stuff that it's not easy to stand up against. Anything you do in life requires risk. You got up this morning, you could have died on the way here. It requires risk. There is no risk without some type of reward or some type of consequence. So if we're waiting for God to give us like all green lights and there's not going to be any issues, I'm not going to have to deal with people cutting me off. I'm not going to have to deal with people flicking me off. I'm not going to have to deal with people who don't like me. You're living in a fantasy world and like this that you created in your mind. That is not God. That's not God. That's the problem I have with people who live in this fantasy world, and that's all they do. It's like everything's like fantasy and they can't deal with reality. I just want you to think just over the last week or two, the progress that you tried to make and the enemy keeps throwing you back. Every time you get up, there's something there trying to weigh you down. But you got to throw some elbows. You got to take this seriously because the enemy's not going to lay off you unless you resist him. That's why he's there. You know, that's why he's there, so you can resist him. That's why God sends him, so you can resist him. He's waiting on you to resist. God's going to do it for me. He will not. It's your training, not God's training. He already defeated the enemy. You are in the process of defeating him. So if you think he's going to let up, we're missing out on the process and learning how to overcome. So he's going to come at you again and see what you do. It's like a fighter in the ring. You're going to have to keep going out into the center of the ring, throwing punches, and hitting him in his weak spot. What the enemy hates is when you worship God under persecution and you worship God in trial. You want to win? I lift my hands to heaven. Hear my heart surrendering. That's how you win. You are Lord of all. Tears running down your face. You're still Lord. And the enemy looks at him and says, all right, it's for real. That's when it matters. Not when it's good, but when it's not so good and you're worshiping, you're struggling, and you're under assault in your mind. That's when you know that I'm making progress because I'm still doing it. The enemy does not care if you come in on our Sunday morning and spend 15 minutes of worship and feel good, but do not leave with some sort of perspective change in your life and some sort of strategy that the Holy Spirit gave you to move on and to keep moving on. That's why we do this when not everybody does it, because there's something about getting together that doesn't happen when you're by yourself. This church loves community. Loves community. We could have church in the lobby because that's this church. You can feel it when you walk in here. There's just community and connection. The enemy hates it. That's why he does everything he can to get you offended and not pressing in and isolated. And it's a ploy of the enemy. You ever feel yourself getting isolated? You need to stop and say, wait a minute, time out. I'm not thinking right. One of the best conversations that me and Jenny probably had in a long time was at my house a few days ago. Dropped off my dog, okay? About an hour sitting there talking about the end times, talking about the Old Testament, just countenance sharpening, faith building. Community. Doesn't matter where it is. And the enemy tries to get in sometimes and tries to drive a wedge and to get you to think, well, I'm all by myself. You're not all by yourself. There are people who are dealing with some of the same stuff you're dealing with. They just decided to follow Jesus anyway and do it. I don't want to miss out on what God has for me just because it's hard. There are times where you have to make yourself get up and go do it. Have you ever woken up and all of a sudden your head's already on fire with thoughts? Boom, 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 boom. Under assault. You got to take some thoughts captive, recognize who you are, and say, I got to get up and do this anyway. Because he's coming for you. He's come. If you have not noticed that, he is coming for you. And one of the ways he's going to come at you is not only through your weak point, but it's going to come at you through offense. And if you can't learn how to block offense, you're going to lose quick. If there has not been something that has been said to you that has already offended you, just wait. It's coming. But the one thing that's good about a Christian, especially if you're growing and maturing, you've learned to put away childish things. Because you used to reason like a child, and because you're getting over the root of rejection, you don't go back into the childish way and take your ball and go home. But you take your ball with you and say, oh, it's going to be like that. Let's just do it. That's one of the things that I have a hard time when we were discussing the other day about this generation and the former generation, that growing up, we were outside and we were always in some sort of competitive battle. Outside. Outside. You had to pull me in to eat. I didn't want to come in and eat. But let's go, we got to eat. It's getting dark. I'd be outside. We'd be playing basketball, just hours playing basketball. We'd be playing tackle football, just doing that. Didn't want to come home. I would go home and eat literally in like a minute. Get back outside. Get back outside. Why? I wanted to be outside. That's where the action was. That's in the house. It's like, you know how it is. You sit on the couch with that face. Netflix for the eighth. You already saw the show 12 times, man. There was just something about being out. Now you can't get people to get out. They're obese. Psychologically, there are effects now because of what we've experience over the last several years, because you lock people up and all of a sudden they turn inward and developmental processes that are essential begin to die. It's the same way in the church. You lock yourself up, you get away from community, developmentally, you slow. You slow. And the hope that does not disappoint all of a sudden shrinks. Because you're not persevering through stuff that you should be persevering through. If you don't think that the haze is real, it's real. I want you to think about the times that God has woke you up and realized, hey, this is not my best. I need you to turn around, change your perspective, and keep moving. And what that did for you to change your perspective and keep moving, because you started to self-loathe. And once you self-loathe, the enemy has you. You want to feel sorry for yourself, all you're doing is playing in his game and in his trap. And before you know it, no one knows the trouble I'm feeling. No one knows who I am. No one, you gotta pull yourself up. No one's coming for you, just so you know. I never understood this process where, as Christians, we're waiting someone else to come rescue us. I never understood that process. Listen, just come, I'm waiting on them to call. I'm waiting on a preacher to tell me he loves me. I'm waiting on, I need a word. You don't need it. You don't need the word. Recognize who you are. Get in the word. See who you are. Get around community. Stop feeling sorry for yourself, and let's do it. Let's do it. I'm sick. Go to church. I'm not saying, well, if you got COVID, just hold up a minute. We get on, so I'm sick. Well, actually, this church doesn't matter. We all got it at the same time. Half of us almost died. We came back to life. God's good. Best way to do it. We all got natural immunity now. So there's no, listen, COVID what? There's no excuse no more for COVID here. Okay? COVID here. We got people who beat cancer. We beat COVID. I mean, the flu. What's the flu? I don't even know what that is. There's no time for that anymore. So all the little excuses that you know what I'm saying? Let's be nice. But this is what today is. This is what today is now. I can't do it. It's cold. I can't go outside. I want to be outside when it's cold. I'm not from here. So I just can't do it. It's hard for me to know people. I got to buckle down. Got to buckle down room. Storm's coming. You mean rain? And my favorite now, people now in public in their pajamas. 5, 6 o'clock. I mean, I'm like, what are you, like school just got out. Driving up and down the road, even on just, we're going to the store. I'm like, what are these kids in pajamas, man? Number one, it's unattractive. Two, you're not dating my daughter. It's not attractive. It's lazy. Don't. Jesus. Listen, let's move on. Now, after this, Absalom bought a chariot and horses, and he hired 50 bodyguards to run ahead of him. He got up very early in the morning and went out to the gate of the city. When people brought a case to the king for judgment, Absalom would ask where in Israel they were from, and they would tell him their tribe. Then Absalom would say, you've really got a strong case here. It's too bad the king doesn't have anyone to hear it. I wish I were the judge, that everyone could bring their cases to me for judgment, and I would give them justice. And when people tried to bow before him, Absalom wouldn't let them. Instead, he took them by the hand and kissed them. Absalom did this with everyone who came to the king for judgment, and so he stole the hearts of all the people of Israel. After 4 years, Absalom said to the king, said to David, let me go to Hebron to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill a vow I made to him. For while your servant was at Geshur in Aram, I promised to sacrifice to the Lord in Hebron if he would bring me back to Jerusalem. All right, the king said to him, go and fulfill your vow. So Absalom went to Hebron, but while he was there, he sent secret messengers to all the tribes of Israel to stir up a rebellion against the king. As soon as you hear the ram's horn, his message read, you are to say, Absalom has been crowned king in Hebron. He took 200 men from Jerusalem with him as guests, but they knew nothing of his intentions. His own son tried to become king. If you remember earlier, because of David's sin with Bathsheba, trouble would be now in David's house. You remember the Lord said, because you did this thing in private, this is now going to become a public matter in your home. Absalom is not the next in line for king. We know that Solomon was called to be king. Was that Absalom? And now we have an issue with him trying to usurp his dad's authority. And Absalom eventually was brought back. But when he was brought back, this is what he did. He was reconciled to his dad, but immediately went to conspiracy and to conspire. All right, I'm back in my dad's good graces, but now we're going to do something in secret. This is what I believe what took place in his life generationally. Because as David had a root of rejection, and we know that root of rejection caused him God's ultimate blessing in his life, that it began to pass down. And because Absalom now, knowing that he was not the next king, had to go behind his dad's back in order to try to win over followers that were not his to win. And this is not just the only occasion, because further on down, you realize that his other son, Adonijah, did the same thing. But he did it in this way. Adonijah decided that he was going to put his hat in the ring because David was old at this time, and he was about to die. And Adonijah knew that, and he decided to say, well, I'm going to tell people that I'm the next king. And word got back to David and said, no, that's not correct. This is not the way it's supposed to be. Bring in Bathsheba. Let's get this thing done now. And while David was in his deathbed, he pronounced Solomon as king. He had to, because if he didn't, he would have lost his kingdom. Generationally now. Not just one kid, the next kid. What's the problem here? Passivity. Passivity. The problem that we have with David and Bathsheba is not a story of, oh, he was an adulterer, he was a murderer. Yeah, that's what the result of passivity does. You were supposed to be at war, but you decided to stay home. Passivity is a problem. And I'm getting right into this today. Two probing questions. What has resulted in your passivity? One, and two, what have you missed out on because of it? For David, adulterer, murderer, conspiracy, what did he miss out on? God's ultimate blessing. God said, I had so much more for you because you sinned, it's not going to happen. passive. Now, you would say to yourself, David wasn't passive. All it takes is a little bit of time off. And you let your foot off the gas just a little bit, and the enemy is right there. And all of a sudden, your intentions change. We're talking about David. David was a man of war. These guys were like lions. His men were not weak sissies. They were like lions. They would take you out, cut your head off. These guys were trained men of battle. And it was a season of when he was supposed to be doing what he was doing that he decided I wasn't going to do it. The enemy said, I got you, because now I'm going to get to your root. And the enemy does the same thing with you. He's going to try to get to the root. And the root is always rejection. Well, I know I should be out, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to play it lazy. I'm going to play it safe because it's all good. Let me just tell you this. It's all good when God says it's all good. That's it. If you're in a season and God says, I need you to keep plowing ahead and I need you to keep moving forward and I'm going to give you the grace to keep moving forward, that's your season. That's your season. Your season is not, I'm taking it off because I don't feel like doing it. That's not your season. Unless God specifically opens a door for you to get out of where you're at, you do not go anywhere because you will find trouble on the other side of that door. I'm giving them the grace to do it now, do it. If you're not graced to do something, don't do it. Two, but just because it's hard doesn't mean you can't get the grace to do it. I don't like it. It's good for you though. It doesn't make sense to me. It's okay. God said, I got you. I'll give you wisdom. I don't know why I'm doing it. You don't have to know why. Just trust in me. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. I'll direct it. I'm not going to lead you into temptation so that you can fall. God said, it's common. It's common. Everyone gets tempted. But there's going to be a way of an escape. You got to look for it. If you think that success comes without temptation, we're missing the mark. If you think that the enemy doesn't want to come take out your family generationally, we're missing the mark. You're going to take it out generationally. Adultery in your family? Oh, we're going to follow you all the way down. I can, in my head right now, I can think of, okay, yeah, divorce, 3, 4, 5. Cut it off. How do you cut it off? Do something different. I don't know what it means not to be passive. God will show you. Get around someone who has something you don't have. You're supposed to be leveling up in your life. And so if you're always hanging around people who have what you have or below, we're missing it. You got to get around other people where you can catch what they have. There's something about being around people who have what you don't have. There's something that just drives you toward better. Even though it's uncomfortable, it drives you toward better for more. There's too much inside of you. There's too much temptation for you to quit too soon. There's too much, especially for men. You're a man in here. There's too much of a temptation for you to become passive and not do what God's called you to do because it's just easy. I don't care if your dad didn't show you. You got to get around someone who's not like you to help you. And even God will begin to deal with you about that stuff. God does not care that you did not get what you were supposed to get when you're growing up. God's very aware of it. But he also knows how to replace. Remember several weeks ago, I told you about my next door neighbor came over and helped me at a critical time in my life, set me off on a new trajectory. God knows what season. God knows who to bring in. God knows what you need. Are you looking for it or are you missing out on it because it's not the way you think it should be? I don't like it. It's not the way you think it should be, but it's good for you. It's good for you. I don't like sweating. It's good for you because you're looking better. It's good for your heart. I don't like feeling uncomfortable. You will miss out on God's best for you if you're waiting on comfortable. Those two, God's best and comfortable, don't go together. They just don't. When I feel like doing it, I'm doing it. Going to miss out. What have you missed out on because of your passivity? I don't want to do it because I'm afraid of being rejected. And that's what people don't say, but that's what they think when they don't do it. I don't want to ask because I don't want to be rejected and I can't handle rejection. You've already been rejected. You've already lost because of that attitude. I want you to think about some parallels in your life. And sometimes I do this and think about like my life before I met Christ and then my life when I met Christ. I wasn't so concerned. This is crazy. I wasn't so concerned about who liked me, who didn't like me before I met Christ. I want you to think about some of the things you thought or you did not think about, but now it's like so big in your mind now. Especially with Christians. Growing up, and it has to be where you grew up in your environment where we weren't so thin-skinned. And all of a sudden we become a Christian and we think that God's going to replace our total DNA. Now we got to become this soft follower of Christ with a forlorn face and the worshipful attitude. And like God's going to take away who you were, your environment. All that stuff made you who you are. That's got to translate over somehow into your life. God's not all of a sudden going to take a non-passive man and say, now you will become passive. God doesn't do that. All that stuff is part of who you are that makes you who you are, that God wants you to use in the kingdom. And matter, that's what God likes about you. He likes your ability to go after it. God said, I'll take that one. I'll take that one because when I change him and rearrange him, we're going to do some stuff with this one. I like that one because he knows who I am. He's not so concerned about what everybody else says. Let's use this one. Use who you are. And we like change. And then we become a Christian. Why am I getting beat up? It may not be physically, but why am I getting beat up emotionally? Why am I getting beat up in my spirit? I just feel like I'm under attack all the time. Welcome to the kingdom. Welcome to what God has called you into. Use you. Use you. Why is passivity a problem? It costs us the garden. What's it costing you? I'm telling you, if you think about it in your life, you're probably missing out on some of God's best because of fill in the blank. But you got to make a decision. It doesn't matter what's happening in my life. I'm going to go after it anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do it in faith, even though it may not feel comfortable. Okay? Because it doesn't matter. If it can go bad either way, but I'm not going to play that game. We're going to do it and see what happens. That's why even relationships, you got to be bold enough to be able to step out of relationships, even though, well, I might feel rejected. You might. You might. Absolutely, you might. Jesus was. You're going to be. You will be. Try starting something and realizing, well, people may come, they may not come. But the reality of it is, we're going to do it anyway. See what God does. Because if God calls you to do it, he gives you the grace to do it. Passivity kills. Just kills. What have you allowed in your life that does not need to be there right now? What are you tolerating that you don't need to be? I just like the feeling of being beat up all the time. It's a great feeling. I love it. Something about it that just charges me up. It's the same way with the enemy. If you want him to stop doing something, tell him. Resist him, and he has to go. If you're submitted, resist him, and he has to go, but stand firm in it. Don't resist him and then jump back into compromise and think, well, it's going to go good for me. It won't. Oh, come on now. Come on. This is real nice today. This is real nice. Come on. Well, you know, God's he's speaking to me about my drinking. He's really, but I'm going to resist the enemy, but back on the weekend. Then we come to church, and then we try to deal with it on Monday. Here we go. Back in the cycle on Monday. Oh, my God, but I feel like my life sucks. And how are you going to resist addiction if you're addicted to it and you're not submitted? Ask any mental health counselor. It doesn't work that way. I have a problem with porn, but I got a lot of computers in my house. And, you know, I got some pop-up blockers on. They don't work well all the time. But I'm fighting it, really. Okay. God's speaking to me about my passivity here, and I need to stand up a little harder. But it's just hard for me to do that because I feel, do it. I can't lose all that weight. It's too hard. It's too much. 200 pounds later, doing it. Looks great. Told him today, looks fantastic. Looks great. Doing it. Is it easy? No, just doing it. And this is, we get into this debate all the time where it's like, does God, does he love me? Does he not love me? It's like we got the flower. Remember when we were young? He loves me. He loves me or not? He loves me. Oh God, he doesn't love me. Pirouette, and that's it. We're out. Okay. Not going to try anymore. He's not for me. Maybe tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. When God's calling you to do it today. Because God knows that tomorrow may not come in the way that you want it to come. And that if you don't deal with it and resist the enemy now, it's easy for you to be overtaken. I don't care. You could be overtaken in a sin overnight. Because over a period of time, it's been working on you. And God knows that if you don't deal with it and resist it, it could take you out. That I've seen people that God was telling them along the way, and then boom, it blew up in their face, lost their job, credibility, relationships. Because God was dealing with them along the way, resisted it. No. And God said, okay, now it's got to be public. God gets no pleasure in ruining your credibility. God, you think this was fun for God all of a sudden to expose David? This is going to be great for me. Michael, watch this. This is going to be really great. Because he's representing the King of Kings. And now God has to go through a restoration process with him. And that restoration process would have consequences. Because God is also righteous and he's just. So now, because I'm righteous and I'm just, now generationally, David, you're going to have problems. But don't worry about it. I'm still going to be in your line. I got you. But because I'm true to who I am, we're going to deal with this stuff. But if God's dealing with you today on certain things, why not deal with it? If God's saying step out, why not do it? If God knows your tendency is to back up when it's hard, don't you think that he's going to do something counter to that to get you to move forward? Why would he get you or want you to move in and cave into your emotions when you're not led by your emotions, you're led by the Spirit of God? Why would God allow you to cave when he's giving you every opportunity to win and come out of the cave? Don't toilet bowl. You don't have to stay there. Come out of the cave. Because we get concerned with the outcome, what that looks like. Your passivity is not, it's ugly. One, passivity is ugly, but coming out sometimes even uglier. Because what people do is when they start to establish boundaries in their life, it doesn't look good sometimes. It doesn't feel good to other people. But because people are so concerned about what everybody else thinks, they never come out. Never. All of a sudden, you got friends, and then you establish a boundary and say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. What are you talking about? What did you get so God? I just, you know, there's some truth I'm just walking in right now, and there's some boundaries that I need to have, and this is not really beneficial for me anymore. So you cool with that? And now it's on them, it's not on you. But you got to make some decisions. Is your life worth putting it in the hands of someone, number one, who's not even like you? And two, because you made that decision, doesn't even like you anymore. What is resulting in your passivity? If you're not taking ground, you're losing ground. I'm losing it. I've come too far. You've come too far to go back in your head. It's hard to go backwards in your head. Have you ever tried it? You ever tried it? If you're a person, if you have an analytical personality, it is a blessing but also a curse. Because it will drive you down a road to try to figure out how you got to where you got and why you got what you got in your life. And you got to be careful that you submit that under the Holy Spirit and allow him to help you with that. You are who you are for a reason, but left unchecked, it'll kill you. God has given you some powerful skills. But if they're not checked right, they also could be a detriment. There are certain things that I can contemplate about God, but I only can go back so far. Because then it turns into what if. And once you start turning into what if, there are things that start to harm you when it comes to your faith walk, and then all of a sudden it takes you out of the realm where God's in control and he's sovereign, and yes, God allowed it, and then all of a sudden if you're not careful, the enemy starts playing with your mind. Well, if he allowed it, then what else will he allow? If you know your tripwire, don't get tripped. If you know that you can only go back so far, just stay there. Don't go back. It's still male and female. Never's changed. Never. It's still Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Has not changed. The enemy has not changed. If he knows you and your tendency, where is he going to come at? He's going to come at that tendency. That's where he's coming at. Oh, I know he's got a tendency. Anytime he starts to make ground, all I have to do is just hit that one button. And all of a sudden, he's now back in his head doing this thing. You know, it is head games. You can't win it up here. We're going to have a hard time. That's why the mental game for a Christian is so important. If you're losing it up here, you got to step something up. Step something up. If it hurts, sometimes you got to do it anyway. If there's pressure, sometimes you got to operate anyway under it. If you don't like it, sometimes you just have to take it. If your back hurts, sometimes you have to do it anyway. Okay? Yeah, if you're sick, sometimes you just have to get up anyway, take some C's, and do it anyway. If you're starting to feel COVID come back, sometimes you got to take some Flonase up in that nose and keep moving. Work your hips out, stretch out, and keep moving. Because you know the tricks are the same. And once you've grown a little bit, you understand and you can sense it. I can sense it. You can resist it, though. I know what it is, and you can keep moving. The tricks are the same. Conference coming up. Worship night coming up. Easter coming up. All of a sudden, in your head. Sick, offended, in your head. Same stuff. God's going to do something big. Resist. Keep moving. It's going to be a great week. It's going to be a great 2 months. It's going to be a great year. Man, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I know what you say, but the enemy's chirping. Why? Starting to rise. And every time you start to rise, the enemy's always there trying to hold on. Sit. You got to know your authority. Or stay. Treat him like the dog he is. Some of y'all need to take that from today. Stay, man. I didn't say come. Stay. And even if you do come, just watch what God's going to do. Just sit right there. Now hold him right there. I got you. I hold you right here. Let's see what God does. And make him watch it. So it sickens them and keep them there. It's like, all right, now go. You got that authority in your life, man. You have an authority. He's supposed to be afraid of you, but what happens is the opposite with people. He's coming. There's one of him. One of him. One. One. He is created. And we make like he's everywhere. He's everywhere at the same time. My God. He is everywhere. I see him everywhere. He's not. There are principalities, there are powers that are set up. He himself is not everywhere. You know who is? Jesus. Everywhere. That's why when you walk into a room, darkness has to go. You got the light with you. Everywhere, everywhere. In the bathroom, Jesus is there. You walk out on your street, Jesus is there. The enemy is a small, small piece. But he's got a big mouth because people are not hearing with the right ear. You probably should be beating stuff quicker. But God lets you stay in it a little bit longer, so you really got to beat. So the next time it comes about, you're like, I know I don't want it. Because God knows your tendency, Kristen, is to allow it to come back. Just to play with it a little bit. Because we like to entertain thoughts that we shouldn't entertain. This week, he's going to be barking. Stay. The one thing about my dog, and this is funny about my dog, and I have conversations with people like this, my dog is deathly afraid of men. Me in particular, I don't know, okay. He knows the alpha in the house. He knows all this. Walk in the house. Literally, I could be having a conversation with my wife, and all of a sudden I walk in, and dog's out. Out. He's just out. The only time that we have a relationship is that if I'm sitting up in bed, he knows I'm in bed, he will pop up. I'm in a non-threatening position, and he'll let me pet him. Anytime I'm up, though, immediately I go to get up, he's out. I come downstairs, and sometimes when I'm working at home, he will not, he is away from me. Away from me. I got to chase him to take him out of the bathroom. Even when I do, he pees on the floor. That's how the enemy should be. Even when I'm laying down, you can try to come in. I'll give you a little bit, but when I get up, you better get off my face, man. Get out. Yeah, that's what the enemy does in a vulnerable position. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. I'm vulnerable. And he starts to lurk. Maybe I can get their attention now. And what we do is because we're not really engaged, we're vulnerable, we start to. Massage those situations and entertain what it would feel like. And all of a sudden, it starts to take root. And then we conspire. I want that woman at my house. Send for her. She comes. They sleep together. They have a baby. And all of a sudden, the road. All because vulnerable position. Passive. And now we're talking about adulterer, murderer, conspirator, generational issues. Because in the season when we're supposed to be fighting, you were just chilling. Nothing wrong with chilling. Be on guard when you're chilling. We need to understand some of this stuff because if we don't, things can get weird really quick. And all of a sudden, the things that we thought and we were pretty straight on, they're not straight anymore now. Now, things that used to not be attractive become attractive. And the enemy knows, looks good, doesn't it? Because passive. Oh, you know, that's all right. Compromise, what compromise does, oh, that's all right. I mean, it's not that bad, right? Everyone's struggling. And all of a sudden, the line gets blurred. God's got to wake us up so the line gets straight again. It's black again, or it's white again. I love what God has given me, but I got to give it back. I love the opportunity God has given me, but I got to give it back to him. I got to take advantage of the opportunities. I got to not be passive. God has not called you to be passive. Women, God has not called you to be overbearing in relationships. Okay, you're in a submissive relationship. This is not a marriage conference, but we're going to end on this. But God has called us to walk as we submit to one another. Man is the head of the household. Woman submits. Why? Because the man is the head under God. And when that flows, the house flows. Just single, we'll talk about that another day. That's a little different. What am I single? Come on, you're also in the house. But you got to deal with it that way. You want blessing in your house? The man's the head of the household. The woman submits. He doesn't lord it over her. But there's a submissive relationship that's there. He loves the wife. The wife respects the husband. When that's in order, house is good. When a man is passive, a woman decides to take rule, it's out of order, there's dissension. Try it. Try it. And you may not like your role. Nevertheless, it's your role. And as you work that way, God will bless it. And there have been times in my life where God has blessed Misty, even though I made a dumb mistake. Because she submitted to me. And as I submit to God, God works it all out. Order. Are you where you need to be? Number one, in your relationship with God. And two, are you doing what God has called you to do? Passivity is not in the Bible. It's not. It's what caused sin to enter into the world. What are you allowing to enter into your life and what is it doing for you? Let's all stand on our feet. Ben, come on up. I want to point out something about that story in the garden. Even when they sin and they made coverings for themselves. Where was Jesus? He was coming looking for him. He's not passive. He's not disengaged. What are some of the things that you need to do to correct some of that in your life? For some, it might just be you need to come into more of a self-awareness of who you are and what God has taken you from. And then establish that in your life. Now, this is who I am, and I'm okay with being who I am and my story. I'm okay with my story. That I don't have to walk in shame because of what I've been through or what God's taken me through. It's my story. And actually, I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of what God has done. And start from there and just do it. God is not looking for you to walk in fear. He's not looking for you to back up. That's just not God's heart. It's not God's plan. Why? Because the fear of man brings a snare. It's a snare. If you like being snared, walk in fear. If you don't, walk like God has called you to walk. God will take care of the rest. God will work out the rough places. He'll make the crooked places straight. But if you're you, God can bless you. Don't walk in fear. Don't walk in fear. What does that mean? You're going to be tempted to, though. And don't put your fear on someone else. Man, they're really free there. It's a little bit much for me. Don't put your fear on them. Don't try to control them because you got stuff. Rejection. What we do is you control or you thumb and you press down on because there's stuff in your life that you have not dealt with. And because it's uncomfortable for you to see them like that, all of a sudden you become very defensive. Whoa! I don't know. I mean, why not that? Is that even biblical? We get spiritual real quick when it's uncomfortable. Because that person has freedom, but you don't. And all of a sudden, because we like to idolize the stuff we do, we idolize it and say, well, no, that's spiritual. That is spiritual. You're not, no. You're not very spiritual. Why? Because I'm not like you? Rejection. Can you be around other people and be okay with you, even though they may not be like you, but you're still good? Lord, for every person in this room, in this process right now, Lord, dealing with them on stuff they're dealing with, struggling with, this idea of the root of rejection and its effects. Lord, strengthen people for this fight, this one. The one you've called us into to take back ground in our own minds. Thank you for strengthening men in this house. Lord, giving them the ability to say yes to you, run their homes, stand up in their businesses. Thank you for the things that they didn't get growing up. You're giving it to them. You're building it inside of them. You're bringing people around them to help complement them in this walk, to push them forward. For the women who are in this process of dealing with things in their own life, even emotionally, thank you for pulling up roots. Strengthening them even on the inside, even this week as they get ready for this conference. Lord, bring them into an awareness of your love for them, your love. Lord, help them just to be open to you and what you're doing. Know that they're valued and they're loved. They're valued and they're loved. Father, we thank you for meeting us where we're at today, moving us toward all you've called us to move into. We don't want the same. We want better. We want better. Let's all lift our hands in this house if we could. Every person with hands in the air. Lord, as we surrender to you, as an act of surrender, we say we want better. Thank you for better. Lord, more of you, more of your spirit, more faith to do what you've called us to do. Thank you, Lord, that the enemy tries to come in next time, we're going to tell him to stay and resist. We're going to tell him what to do, and he's not going to tell us what to do, because we know that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen.